Data have revealed that nearly 70% of Chinese women have been employed, surpassing that of most developed countries in the world. That is one staggering number, and let's look into it. Where did it come from?
Yeah, the data is from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics and International Labor Office, and they revealed that the female labor force participation rate has reached 68% in China in 2010, and surpassing that in most developed countries. And by making a comparison, let's take a look at the figures of the other countries. Like in the U.S. and U.K., the female labor force participation rates have reached has reached lower than 60%, and figures of some Asian countries like Japan and South Korea are both lower than 50%, and figures of other BRICS countries like Brazil is lower than 60%, and the figure in India is only 28%. And now, like, people are argue that these figures show that the rate of the work rate of Chinese women has already or nearly topped the whole world, and maybe it demonstrates the equality in Chinese society of women and men. So, how do you think about that?
Well, you know, this is one part of the puzzle, actually. So, there's more to this. So, this comes from 2010, and when I first looked at this, I was like, that was a while ago, you know? And I came to China in 2013. Even then, from being here now and back then, I've seen China change so much, you know, and that's just a testament to how fast it's developing. So 7 years, a lot can happen, yeah. Right? But to paint a picture, I guess some of similar kind of data from China's female labor participation rate, I guess it's data from the International Labor Organization, okay? It said that 73% was the figure in the 1990s, but now in 2016, well, last year, it's 63%. So, actually, I think what we're seeing is a 5% decrease from 2010. So, it seems like it's going down. The trend is basically, from the 1990s, this is seen a decline, and now it's at 63%. So who knows, another 5 years, which isn't that much time, you could see it be one of the lowest in the world.
Ooh. Well, that's an interesting speculation from Ryan, and I do understand and I share that initial pause as Ryan did when we first saw the figures. Oh, it came from 2010. And why is it making news now? Well, simply because it's a statement that it's a research that came from the United States. You know, so basically, I think that Chinese internet users came up with a conclusion that is, oh, are we ahead of developed countries? But actually, I think we need to look deeper, like what Ryan said, into the more recent figures and also compare China's figures with years before and see how the trend has formulated in China. And I think that part, I do agree with you guys that there seems to be actually a steady decline of the rate of female employment in our country, regardless of the surface value of things. That is, it is still a pretty high figure of females working in the job market. So can we say that China has achieved gender equality to a large extent?
Well, actually, to jump in here, I mean, well, looking at this, you know, I think in countries that are maybe underdeveloped, the standard of living is not so high, right? And so I think, you know, now China is developing so fast, the standard of living has increased so much, and it's changing so quickly. I think changing quicker than it has for any other country. That's why I say in 5 years you could see a percentage much lower than even like the UK or the US. But there is some news that made me pause for a second here. And this is some news that comes from the World Economic Forum published a global gender cap report. And they do this every year. So I guess 2016 revealed that this global gender gap looks at the gap between males and females in politics, education, and economy. And I guess China ranks number 99, falling even behind maybe like India at 87. China used to be, though, 61st in 2011. But since then has continued to fall. 69 in 2012 and 2013, 87 in 2014, 91 in 2015. So though maybe we see the amount of females working, we notice that maybe things like higher education and participating in leadership positions, these kind of things aren't correlating with that in the sense that it's getting better for females in that regard. And looking at this, because we talk about, you know, a lot of stuff here on Roundtable, I think one of the things is I do think women are actually pretty well educated here in China. I mean, I've met tons of very educated ladies and very active in the workforce. But I think what happens many times is for high education, like let's say astrophysics or these kind of things, I still think maybe on some level that is dominated more by males. Whereas you would see maybe kindergarten teachers and these kind of things we talked about on Roundtable, you don't see males in that. So I would say maybe this doesn't necessarily mean that education levels for females are really bad. In fact, you see high literacy rates being in China for men and women, 98% for men, 94% for women. So really high literacy rates across the board. But I think what this is saying is that men are higher, getting the higher educated jobs, getting the more high level jobs that require the higher education. Whereas I think that isn't necessarily the case with the female counterparts.
Yeah, I really agree with Ryan that now you can see very few women in the important position in the workplace. Mm. Like you can rarely see a woman in the top or senior management level in an enterprise or in the government department. And also think the second child policy has brought more challenges to women in China.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, having the second child means you will...
You have to sacrifice something for
work time, yeah. And you'll need to take more time off, at least a year more off, yeah, to have the second baby and all those things. And it will have an effect on the treatment of women in the workforce, especially during the hiring process.
Yeah.
Because, well, if you're hiring, you want the most productive and loyal, stable employees. Hmm. And that doesn't seem to be favoring women so much recently. And also I think what's quite interesting is initially a lot of people jumped to the conclusion that China is doing so well and overperforming than a lot of developed countries in gender equality, simply, yeah, because more women percentage-wise are working in this country. But does that mean that gender equality is achieved? It's actually two very different things. I think, yeah, more women working can only say that women are earning a bit of income, yeah, on our own, but it doesn't say anything about being equal or not.
Well, data from the National Bureau of Statistics and All China's Women Federation revealed that actually in both urban and rural scenarios, men are still making quite a bit more than their female counterparts. To better paint this picture even, female laborers just surpassed 2/3 of their male counterpart in urban areas in the way of income. So it's getting better, but it's still not equal, right? So
yeah,
you could say it's getting better. But is better always meaning that it's right there where it should be, maybe where it's seen as equal? I mean, of course, better means a good thing. It's a step in the right direction, but not necessarily saying it is right there on par with their male counterparts. And I would say this doesn't even happen in the U.S. too. So, and then even also in the rural areas, well, females make 56% of what their male counterparts make. So in rural areas, you're seeing this as well. And one thing I want to say too is this could be something that I think is related to, you know, in this the global gender gap report of 2016 I had just mentioned, where China ranked number 99 in the world. Well, I think, you know, you had mentioned Huang Shen seeing less women in maybe, mm-hmm, CEO roles in this kind of,
yeah,
leading economy. So that's economy, I would say, for sure. That's under-representation. But I think where things really start to change, where you really see steps moving much faster towards equality, is when also women represent more in the way of government. And I understand, you know, only 17% of legislators, senior officials, and managers were women. Considering political empowerment, only 12% of women worked in ministerial positions. And that ranked 101 out of 144 countries. So I think where you start to really see gender equality change is what follows after maybe more representation of women in government, where, you know, where laws are made for these kind of things.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, because that's where laws, legislation are constructed. And if you have more representation that can think from the female point of view, then it would be certainly a very good thing, especially when you look at the population in China. Right now, currently, still we have more of a male population, usually in a society, it's like 50-50, male and female. And why is it that not in government or the senior positions in our economy do we see that kind of representation? So I think that is a very good point.
I just want to say that I think these things are changing. And, we've discussed that the trend is, you know, going towards these, catching up very quickly with other developed countries. I'm sure these statistics will catch up as well. But, you know, I've heard in the U.S. too, from a lot of guys saying, especially when it comes to government positions, they're like, well, you know, even in the U.S., there's a lot of these guys that are very traditional when it comes to leadership in the U.S., when they were talking about Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, right? And they say, a lot of guys think, oh, women don't have the they're not as logical as their male counterparts in being able to lead. They let emotion take control of them. And I've always been very critical of that, because I think women actually have a very steady mindset in most cases. You could say, yeah, sure, maybe females are more prone to emotions, you know, but I also think guys let pride get in the way of what's maybe necessarily the right thing to do. I think there's all these X and Y's that balance each other out that make us great leaders. And seeing equality in like government positions would be a good balancing out to make sure diversity and level-headedness is always brought to the table for all sides. And so that was one thing I wanted to say. But also reminding people and our listeners that this is also something that is very present in the U.S.
Yeah, and I also still remember when Hillary Clinton took the election campaign, and she mentioned that she want to break the glass ceilings to make a good example for the women to enjoy equality in the workplace, but she failed. And also, I think in some like Chinese representations of the political figures, you can see all the female political figures, they're all single. I mean, they have no family, no
the more prominent position.
Yeah, I would say, you know, even the U.S., we aren't there yet. And I think we're moving there. We want to go there, but it's still, the mindset is still changing, I think, globally. But, you know, I always think my mom was such a powerful, strong lady in my life. And every boy has a mom and knows how important they've been in their lives and helped them avoid mistakes. Well, don't forget that when you remember and think of gender equality, because we all have a mom, you know, and I think that's important to remind our listeners and people out there.
Yes. That's a very good message to send to everyone. And also, I think I agree with Huangshan that actually I think with the glass ceiling issue, it might be even more prominent in China, because actually we see a very high rate of, I'll say more of the urban female population receiving higher education, that's going to university. But you don't see that in as women sort of taking the lead when it comes to being in senior top positions in important walks of life. So what can explain that? Well, I think to a large extent is the glass ceiling issue in the workplace, as a lot of people are not completely comfortable with seeing women at the helm being in the position of charge. And I think that's something that needs to be changed, which I have faith in that, because I think our society is changing more to a progressive direction, which should be good in changing this situation. Mm-hmm. But also when we look at the figures presented today, we see the trend. That is, since the 1990s and in comparison to today in China, that the female work rate is actually in a steady decline from 73% to now close to just above 60%. Although that is a pretty high figure, but still, what can explain this change?
Well, you know, okay, so actually I wanted to jump in here and say, you know, we're talking about gender equality, right, in China and whatnot. And I think, you know, it is important to pursue equality. But, you know, I remember not too long ago we talked, Yang, and you said something, you know, only the females can have the babies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I wish I could share that burden with you guys.
Yeah, you know, that is actual fact, right? So to say, you know, I don't think necessarily we're the same, even though I think we should pursue equality, okay? So equality in realizing we all deserve the same kind of rights, maybe the same kind of pay, these kind of things, nothing, none of that depends on gender. But at the same time, we're not necessarily the same. And I would say because that's a good example. And even, you know, in China, you have different retirement ages for men and women, as when it comes to things like manual labor. And I think men can much later in life, well, not much later, I think you see a difference of 5 years, but men can work maybe a little more physical taxing jobs because men tend to be maybe a little more muscular or prone to being muscular. Mm-hmm. So these kind of things. But so this is where I come again, is I think our equality resides in the fact that we see each other as complementary. And that is, we fill in each other's holes. We make, you know, nobody's perfect in every way. And I think what we do is we bring this level-headedness that needs the equality there in things like government, education, and all this stuff will only benefit society because of how complementary we are, right? Complementary means if you have one as much as the other, it's only going to get better. So I do think, you know, this makes it a little more challenging, though, when you look at things like jobs, right? Because I think for a female professional, just in general, it's tough to maybe take a break at anything you do in life and then come back to it, right? Let's say if I was in the IT industry, even if my employers were legally bound to take me back and all this stuff, right? I take a break from the IT industry and I have my kid, right? And I spend X amount of time. Maybe I spend a little bit more time. We can afford it. And I want to make sure that he has me around in those important young years or young months. The IT industry moves so fast. By the time I come back in it, maybe I will feel so left behind. Maybe, you know, we talk about the modern day professional always having to delve into new projects, always running, literally running to chase the next opportunity. And to be out of the workplace for that long of time, that is something that only a female has to go through. Unfortunately, you know, men can't have these kids, so it's a female's role. And I think that is where the complementariness resides, where we need to remind ourselves we're equal. And in that case, there needs to be understanding and more help for these females because they're the only ones that can be the moms, that can take this burden, these kind of things. I think that's important to remember.
I really think Ryan made a good point. And I also think like government can do some efforts to boost equality in China. Like I have interviewed some married women. I heard some sad stories, like some women, they have to give up their job after having a second child because there's lack of adequate, like the nursing centers. So I think if the government can improve the nursing centers and they can do more better job in the welfare, they don't need to quit a job. They can still enjoy the privilege in a workplace.
Yeah, you know, it makes me think of, while we're talking about this, like Claire in Modern Family. And for those of you that watch Modern Family, you understand what I'm saying. If not, I'll try to paint the picture as quick as possible. But basically, Phil is the husband of what is this modern family, and it follows the grandfather, his family, of the central family being Phil and Claire, the parents, and their three kids, right? Anyways, Phil is the breadwinner because Claire had three kids. Yet when their youngest starts to go to school, I think he's in middle school, these kind of things, she starts feeling the need to return to the workplace. Yet she's always doubting herself. She's like, nah, well, the workplace has really passed me up. I'm no longer, you know, the professional I used to be. I'm not as sharp as I used to be. So I think also, you know, we need to make sure that that kind of mindset is not encouraged, maybe necessarily, because I think, like I said, it's complementary to have women in these kind of aspects of education, of the workplace, of government, and I think it's we'll only see benefits from it. And I really mean that.
Well, it's good to have a cheerleader in the male group.
I love you, ladies.
Ladies.
I love you, ladies.
Yeah, you've made that very clear, Ryan, and I appreciate that very much. And I think the moral for me of this news story is that don't ever be fooled by the headline, because it tends to paint a more sensational or rosy picture, especially in this news story, when we need to look at, actually, there is still a lot of gender equality, us not being equal kind of issues that's embedded in today's society, and that needs attention.
Yeah.
At first, and we need solutions after. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang, Ryan Price, and Huang Shen.